Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, most merciful, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. And so as we sang in this song, no one can pluck us from your hands. We give you praise and thanks that we are in your hands, and our salvation is secure. But we pray, O Lord, this day that we would walk in this great affirmation and comfort that we are yours and we belong to you. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. One of my memories of my childhood was when my parents would take my brother and I on a Sunday afternoon nap. Now, as I say these things, I would venture to say, if it was today, that wouldn't be happening because it was too expensive to do that. But we would go off on a Sunday afternoon drive, and we would go out into the countryside. Now, mind you, when I say we went out to the countryside, I grew up in a small town, a town of about 5,000 population. So when I say countryside, I'm talking rural, boondocks. We didn't take any drives into the city. When I say the city, I'm talking about Philadelphia, where I grew, the closest city I grew up to. I am like my parents in that way. I really dislike heavy traffic, parallel parking, and trying to figure out if I need to make a left-hand turn in between two one-way streets, how do I get there from here? If I'm going to take a leisure drive, it will be headed not in the direction of the city, but the countryside. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon continues to speak of the path of the righteous and the wicked. And Scripture uses a lot of repetition, and we've heard it already, so you're going to hear it again. He warns us where not to go, and he tells us where to go. So this morning I'm going to speak about the warning of wisdom and the instruction of wisdom. So first, the warning of wisdom. We hear this in Proverbs 4, 14 through 17. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not perceive in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed to sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. In common parlance, Solomon is telling us, don't go there. What we mean by this is that it is not a wise choice to go there. It is not healthy to go there. It is not helpful to go there. This is precisely the same vein of thought that Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is taking as he says these words. There's the way of the wicked. Don't go there. And since the writer is dispensing wisdom by its very definition within this book, we cannot travel on the path of wickedness and foolishness at the same time. The two are contrasted. They're opposites. The two won't live together at the same time. By way of review, the writer of Proverbs has already made this stark contrast between wisdom and foolishness in the first chapter, verse 7 of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon has given us this in the opening chapters and will continue to teach us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and its opposite is despising the wisdom and the instruction of Holy Scripture, including the wise sayings within this book. We are warned not to enter the path of the wicked, to avoid it and pass by it. In Proverbs 4, 18 and 19, the way of the righteous is like the light of dawn, while the way of the wicked is like darkness. Again, the stark contrast is meant to warn God's people not to travel in the ways of sin and foolishness, but instead walk in the path of righteous wisdom. Martin Luther once said, "You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." He was making a distinction between temptations that just fly over our minds. They pass on through like a millisecond. That's not a sin. To dwell on them, to let them build a nest in your hair, that's where sin comes in. Because sin always involves our consent. Most thoughts come from the outside. They might come from God, for every good thought comes from God. But they also can come from dark demonic powers who whisper thoughts of sin to us. And we can give each other thoughts by speaking and acting toward each other. Many of the thoughts that we have are ones that we are invited to land in our minds and give them shelter like an airport crew serving an airplane. Fly in, land here. So they come again and again. And if we allow them to, they begin to define us, whether for good or for evil. We identify with these thoughts, and they change us so that we become like them. And so I'm encouraging both yourself and myself, be careful what travels on the highway of your mind. But just because you have a thought does not mean that that thought is forced to define you. You don't have to believe everything you think. And so if we understand that our minds, therefore, as sensory organs that both receive and reject thoughts, and if we understand the thoughts we receive and then invite to take up residence within us, change who we are, then we can understand the teaching of Christ from Luke chapter 6, that a healthy eye will fill us with light, and an evil, diseased eye will fill us with darkness. Notice also in Proverbs 4, 14 through 27, two very specific sins are mentioned in connection to the path of wickedness, and they are violence and deceitful speech. I repeat this verse in verse 17 of Proverbs 4, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." And in Proverbs 4:24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you." It is these two snares, a deceitful mouth and a lifestyle of violence, that the wicked constantly practice and act upon. Notice the wording of Proverbs 4:16, which speaks about the wicked. "For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble." This is their lifestyle and their usual method of operation, that they try to trap people with deceitful and devious speech. They try to trick somebody, to trip them up by making promises or trying to make someone look foolish and embarrassing them. Built on top of that, once they have reached their goal of tricking someone, then they gloat over it. And in gloating over it verbally, violence often falls on the heels of this sinful interaction with other people. And so they cannot get rest until they've done that. Sleep is robbed of them until they do that. And the writer of Proverbs is careful to warn us of the pitfalls of walking down this wrong path, the path of sin, foolishness, and destruction. This brings me to my second point, which is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Derek Kidner said this in his commentary on Proverbs, quote, "After thoughts come the words. And yet it is not enough to take care of the first and let the second take care of themselves. Superficial habits of talk react on the mind, so that cynical chatter, fashionable grumbles, flippancy, half-truths barely meant in the first place, hardened into well-established habits of thought. Kidner is saying that the mind influences the mouth, but also the mouth influences somebody's frame of mind. The two act upon one another. And so Solomon is telling us to watch over to the heart, for from it flows both our thoughts and what we talk about, what we love, what we focus on. The heart in Holy Scripture often means, and in this context means, the center of one's being and person, the seat of his reason, will, and desire. Jesus has already said this about in Luke chapter 6, but also in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So Solomon is instructing us to guard our hearts, to walk on the paths of righteousness, of truth, and purity. Our Lord's words here, as well as Proverbs 4:23, are saying the same thing, the same truth and message, that within the center of a person's heart flow the issues of life, whether they have a corrupt influence or a heart cleansed by God. Notice the parts of the body that we are to yield to God in this pathway of wisdom. I've already spoken about watching our heart in Proverbs 4:23, our words which come out of our mouth in Proverbs 4:24, watch what our eyes look at in 4:25, and watch the path of your feet in Proverbs 4:26 and 27. We are to submit the members of our bodies in service to God as instruments of righteousness. We see this same dedication of soul and body to God in Romans 12:1-2, where the Apostle Paul urges us, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We dedicate our bodies to God in service to Him and worship Him as we devote our minds to God to be renewed by His holy word and Holy Spirit. So what is the cure for evil thoughts? If we sit depressed and anxious over all the things that both anger and depress us, that cause us to despair, and we dwell on that, then we're going to become like our thoughts. But if we orient our spiritual sight toward what is holy and good, then the evil thoughts being suggested by the world, the flesh, or the devil will have no place in us to take root in us. I've done it this week, and I try to do it throughout the week. When an anxious thought tempts me to despair, I just say, I'm not answering that door. I do it to the same thing that tries to sell me something on a Saturday morning. I just don't answer the door. When I see a telephone and it's unknown, I don't answer it. Or if Sarah will tell you, I press on and off within a second. I'm not interested. That's what we need to do with thoughts that are negative away from God's moral will. Don't answer that door. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 1, 9, and 10, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It is by the grace of God given to us and His gifts of repentance and faith in Him that we are able to grow in godly wisdom. While we are counted as righteous before God only through the work of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, yet how we live as Christians is important. The writer of the Proverbs is instructing us in the paths of repentance and walking in the paths of obedience to the Lord and serving Him. The ideas of putting away from you a deceitful mouth is this very idea of repentance, to turn away from sin, to turn toward God. God desires us to obey His law, not only as a testimony of the grace of God working in us, but further that God's law is not just an arbitrary set of rules. It is a reflection of God's holy character. And so, to be specific, instead of spreading deceit, hatred, and violence in our words, we tell the truth. We speak words of truth, love, and peace, which is a reflection of God's character, in that He always keeps His promises and is always working for our good. And that should be our life testimony as well. This is the rationale for the closing verses of Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. May we purify our minds and receive and dwell on the thoughts of God's holiness by repentance, faithfulness, and turning toward Christ, and then walking by His grace in His direction in the paths of God's wisdom. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, help us to guard our hearts above all things. Search our hearts and know our thoughts, and help us turn away from wickedness and guide us into the paths of righteousness. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.